Well, this next song gets a little bit of an introduction because it's kind of written about us, and it's a fun story because it's so real, and sometimes we forget what was real. So, in the beginning, Lindsey Buckingham lived in San Francisco, and he lived there his whole life. My family was living in California, and we got transferred from Los Angeles up to San Francisco. I was a senior, and Lindsey was a junior. So I met him one night at some party, and we sang a song together, and I think it was California Dreaming. I know it was. I never forget anything. And then I walked away, and then I never saw him again. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know where he went. I don't know. He just disappeared in a poof of smoke. Maybe not smoke, but something. And so 2 years later, when I finished my second year of junior college, I got a phone call from a guy named Bob, who was a drummer in a band that Lindsey was in. And Bob said, "Would you like to join our band?" I didn't really know who our band was, but I said, "Well, what kind of band is it?" And he said, it's 1968, San Francisco. It's like, you know, the mecca of rock and roll. It's a hard rock and roll band." And I'm like, just let me think a minute. I'm like, yes, I can do it. Yes. Next thing I know, I'm going to practice at Lindsey's house, who lives down the street from me. And we're practicing Monday through Thursday, 5 hours, you know, this was like heavy. And this band just got better and better. And we suddenly, very soon, were opening for very big bands like Jimi Hendrix, 75,000 people. Janis Joplin, 30,000 people. Stanford Frost Amphitheater, Stanford University, Santana, the week before Woodstock, the movie, came out. And not last but not least, because there's so many more, but the one I'll tell you about is we were stuck in Lodi with Creedence Clearwater because we opened for them, and then we were stuck there because our car broke down. So we had many, like, total adventures, and we were making pretty darn good money. So one day, I heard a rumor that there was this magnificent store in downtown San Francisco where all the rock and roll women who, like, were in bands and people knew about them bought their clothes. And so I thought, okay, I have some money, so I'll drive up there in my cranberry apple red convertible Corvair Spider Monza 5-speeds, and I'll buy something there. And I get there, and I find the store, and it's a tiny store, and has beautiful things hanging everywhere, and a hand-painted floor that's beautiful, and I know immediately that there's no way I can afford anything in this store. So I made a long trip. But I realized, standing on this floor, that I was probably standing in the same place that Janis Joplin stood, or that Grace Slick stood, or many of the other famous women. So it's like, in that moment, my life sort of changed. And I think I had I like to call it a seizure premonition, where I really felt something coming. I knew that it was gonna be big, and it was a moment where you go like, I know it's, I don't know what it is, but it's gonna be big, and it's coming soon. And I walked out of that store a different woman, like I had a purpose or something, you know. It was amazing. And the reason that I'm telling you this story is because I want you to know that if you have a dream and you believe in it, especially in today's crazy world and crazy high-tech world, that if you have a passion, the fire down below, if you have that, don't ever let anybody tell you you can't have it, because you can have it. We are living proof that a bunch of kids in San Francisco with nothing made it to the top, and made it to the top pretty damn fast. So you can do it. Believe in yourself, and just tell everybody to get out of your way.